First of all, I'd like to take this opportunity of welcoming everybody to this meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly, and there's no doubt about that, of course. But the red tape reads as follows. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to new guidelines with regards to conduct of the meeting? Everybody should ensure that the mobile phones are switched off, are switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may temporarily be excluded for discussion and committee items. And members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting. And anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any items of business before this committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating that the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Councillor is considered as considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking, and members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed and in order. And members should ensure that their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote's being taken. As we all know, to keep instant messages to the following letters, type Q if you want to ask a wee question, P if you want to propose a question, type S if you waste a second, and also please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as a seconder. So I have a few wee remarks to make at this stage of the meeting, and as I say, I welcome everybody to the first meeting after the elections, and I would like to thank Councillor Una McGuinness, the previous chairperson of the committee, for the excellent way in which she handled meetings, and to wish her all the best. And also to Councillor Willie Clark, I wish you congratulations on your appointment as deputy chairperson. And we worked together on the old development committee in the Shadow Council, and that's hard to believe that's 9 years ago, and look forward to working alongside you, to the committee members and particularly to our new ones and the officers as well. We're very sorry and we're saddened to hear the sudden passing of Elaine Coffey, who was a familiar face at reception in the Downtown Civic Centre. For many, Elaine was the first point of contact and quite helpful and kind to colleagues and friends, and also to a former dog warden, James Hamilton, based in Newry, who passed away very recently. So our sympathy is with both families and friends and colleagues. And also, I was privileged to have attended the recent LGC Awards ceremony in London and the Council's Bees at Auchnagun, which was a former landfill site, won a prestigious award for its work in reclaiming the site to improve biodiversity and helping to boost the once endangered Irish black bee. So again, that was a good result. So I have apologies so far from Councillor Taylor. Are there any further apologies that would like noted?
Councillor Michael Rice.
Thank you very much, Una. So we now move on to agenda item number 2, is declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest to be made? None. That's thank you. So we move on now to our action sheet. This was of our last meeting on the 21st of March 2023. So we'll go to page 1 of our action sheet. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Are members happy with the action sheets? Do we have a comment? Councillor McAvoy, Leanne?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Yes, it was just on page 2 of the action sheet with regards to the review of the bus shelters. And I just would like to know if we could get a wee update, especially with regards to the Slievenamann Road bus shelter that was to be removed.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thank you.
Sorry, Leanne, that's still in progress. We're still working on that, but I'll give you an update outside the meeting, if that's all right.
No, that's 100%. Thank you. Just a constituent had initially come to me with that.
Okay.
So just would like the update whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Councillor Michael Savage. Michael?
Yes, Chair. It relates to the same item, number 2, but relates to the RMR Road, Listrum-Gullion bus shelter. There had been work carried out with the local residents there and with TransLink, and I was just wondering, had there been any further developments on that to date?
Sure, we have contacted TransLink and we have got back with a number of issues, so if you want, I can update you outside the meeting as well.
Thanks, Gil. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Michael, thank you. Thanks very much. We now move, because we have a proposer, and Mackie, Councillor Larkin, it's you every week.
Thanks, Chair. It's just page 4. The item in relation to the use of herbicides across the council estate. Will you an update on that?
Go ahead there.
Chair, it was decided that at the last meeting we would retain the 30% of the 2019 amount. With the growing season well underway this year, it is causing considerable issues for our grounds maintenance department. We are holding fast to the 30%, but unfortunately to the detriment of the amount of work that can be carried out with the reduced amount of glyphosate that we are allowed to use within the department.
Thank you very much.
Chair, just follow up on that. I understand the difficulties it would cause, but is there an alternative?
We have investigated numerous alternatives. There's still not a product on the market which has the capacity that Roundup, which is the trade name, has. The Roundup kills the actual root of the weed. Anything else is just superficial, killing the leaves, but they are regenerated within a matter of days, and this time of year, sometimes a matter of hours. So there's nothing we have investigated. We have tried different methods. We have tried the foam method. We've tried the heat method. We have tried other more expensive herbicides which do not contain glyphosate, but none are as effective as Roundup.
Sorry, Chair, got just another one. In relation to the invasive species and those foreign plants that grow with great enthusiasm, especially around the Daisy Hill district, are we still able to contain them and trying to eradicate them, considering they do present a danger?
Chair, hogweed would be one of the most prevalent of the invasive species, and we are continuing with our stem injection processes in council-owned areas which are subject to invasive species, but that has to be within our 30% of our glyphosate allocation, and that really is to the detriment of other amenity areas where we don't have the capacity now to use it.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
You're very welcome. Okay, and Councillor, a question there from Councillor Jill Treesdale. Jill, do you want to come in?
Thank you, Chair. I just said
a comment. I thought it was a question, Jill. Sorry about that. I just said you have a wee comment there.
It is actually a question. It was just to ask, is there an update on the changing places toilet in Newcastle?
Okay, I'll hand you over to the officer for the answer, Jill, if that's helpful.
Thank you.
Hi, Chair. Yes, the changing places facilities are part of our PC strategy, but we have the OBC that we've been working on for a while now. It has been completed, and it is the changing places is included in that. So we're hoping to present it. We'll have to speak to present it to SMT, and then we'll be presenting that OBC to committee, hopefully within the next month or two.
Hello.
Hopefully, yeah, and that'll be included within that.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay, thanks very much, Councillor Truesdale. And a question from Councillor Finn. Dara, come on in, please.
Yeah, it's actually just, again, in relation to the use of herbicides. I have had somebody in touch just with concerns around the impact that that might have on pets or spraying around play parks. And I just wondered if there was anything that could be spoken to in relation to that I could bring back to them just to allay any concerns they're having.
Chair, we have carried out substantial risk assessments and the cautious assessments for the Roundup that we use. It is contact neutral, so once it is made contact with the vegetation, it is neutralised. It is has been shown to be non-toxic to pets and other wildlife. We do not use it in play parks. It was a decision that was made here in committee, and our squads have to manually weed the play parks, and it is a very laborious and very resource hungry process. And again, as I said to Councillor Larkin, it is not as effective as using the herbicides, but we don't use herbicides in children's play areas, Chair.
Okay. Members happy enough? I'd say on the screen, the action sheets have been proposed by Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor McAvoy. So before we move on to the briefing for the new committee members, I'm going to hand over to Andrew and his colleagues. They're going to make a series of introductions to the committee. I know there's a lot of new members here at the seniors meeting in the chamber and online. So I'm going to hand over to yourself, Andrew. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think it's useful. There has been significant change in the makeup of the committee, both with members new to the council and members who may have been on the committee before and back on it again, but it's been significant turnover. So, and you may not be completely familiar with everybody that's up table. I'm Andrew Castles, Director of Sustainability and Environment. Been with the council since July of last year. I was formerly a director in Mid Ulster District Council and prior to that, Macrofelt. And I'll start off on my right-hand side with Aidan Mallon.
My name's Aidan Mallon. I am Acting Director for Facilities and Maintenance, Assistant Director, sorry, nearly took Andrew's job there. I am responsible for built maintenance, grounds maintenance, compliance for the council.
Hi, my name's Gail Hain. I'm joint acting assistant director with Aidan here in facilities management and maintenance, and my responsibilities are for the main civic centres and two depots, our five cemeteries and public toilets and markets. That's me.
Sinead Murphy, I'm acting assistant director for waste management. I've been in this role since July 2021, and I have responsibility for refuse collection and cleansing services, household recycling centres, waste processing contracts, the closed landfill sites, and fleet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and also Linda and Louise as well. They've provided invaluable secretarial support for us to keep us right. So thank you very much, everybody here. For introducing yourselves, etc. So we're going to hand back to Andrew. He's going to give, he's going to walk through a series of slides over the workings of the department. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Members, just thought it'd be useful for members if I took you through a brief presentation. Hopefully, I'm sharing the screen there. First thing to say is I will send you out copies of the slides after the meeting, so you have a record of the presentation. I'll try and go through this in about 10 minutes, but I thought again, because there's been significant change in the membership of the committee and there are a number of members who are new to the council, it might be useful, because it's always find that if you're trying to find the person to get things done, it's easier if you know who to go to in the first place. So I'll take you through these and I can take any questions at the end. So really, by way of introduction, I'll go through the core services of the directorate, who the key staff of, some of whom you've just met and who will be the regular attenders at committee at the moment, any key projects and actions, some relevant working groups, of which there's really only one. I want to say a little bit about the waste management environment, because it's probably the biggest expenditure of the Directorate, and it's probably one of the larger single expenditures of the Council. And then a bit maybe if there's any other relevant information. So the Sustainable Environment Directorate was really formed in July 2022, probably on the basis of my appointment. Prior to that, it was called Neighbourhood Services, and it has evolved. It has evolved and is evolving. It deals with a whole range of statutory and non-statutory functions. Clearly, things like environmental health, dog licensing, even down to provision of household recycling centres, collection of waste, cleansing are all statutory functions. Primarily, those are like frontline services, so there's a lot of interaction between the staff and the public, and it's one, obviously, you'll hear an awful lot about. Split at the moment between two assistant directors. Gail and Aidan are here because there's no assistant director for facilities management maintenance in post at the moment, and those titles will change as the directorate evolves. But facilities management maintenance, and then Sinead is acting assistant director for waste management. The services extend right across the district, and the two main depots, whilst we have other smaller depots, are a Greenbank here in Newry and at Strangford Road, obviously in Downpatrick. There's an approximately 400 full-time equivalent staff, and the budget's run in excess of 23 million, so fairly significant spend. I have to say, of that 23 million, about 10 of that is spent on waste management contracts, which is why it's a very important part of the directorate. Range of core services there just laid out for you. On the waste management side, everything from waste collection and disposal through cleansing, fleet management, through to the enforcement role in terms of litter and dogs, for example. And on the facilities management maintenance side of the house, from grounds maintenance through buildings, cemeteries, public conveniences, the markets, and the key civic centres, of which this is one at the moment, even if we're only now tenants in it. All right, so this was a little bit of auto-build on this one. I've already said the directorate is still forming, and we will come to a paper later in the agenda, which is about an update on the terms of reference for the committee. And the reason that paper is there tonight is because there are a number of services which currently sit out with a sustainable environment, but which, through planning for the future, which is approved by the Council back in 2019 prior to the pandemic, will transfer in. So the list of sort of transferring services, sustainability as a unit in itself, with Brian Rankin as the head of sustainability, environmental health, health and safety with emergency planning, off-street car park, probably quite small but important, the assets of harbours and dog licensing. So those services will move over probably in the next couple of months, once members have agreed. All right. No, you're okay. Those services will transfer in the next couple of months. The committee generally meets on the third Wednesday of each month, although it sometimes meets on a Tuesday, and that's to do with the issues to do with the planning committee. So generally a Wednesday, but sometimes a Tuesday. And we try to get the agenda out the previous Thursday, but papers can go up up to sort of the beginning of this week. Clearly, you're going to see a number of reports, presentations for decision or for noting tonight. Some will be exempt. In other words, there's certain parts of the legislation where the meeting isn't open to the public. I mean, that could be, for example, because of commercial confidentiality in terms of contracts and contracts award, for example. Those decisions are then, once they're approved, are obviously ratified at the following full council meeting on the first Monday of the month. And there's a call-in period of 5 days after that. And then that gives us the remit then to follow up on things following the approval and the call-in at council. You've met some of the key staff tonight, but just to give you the names again so that if you're talking to somebody, you have some idea what they do or who they are. So Sinead's already introduced herself as the Assistant Director currently for Waste Management. the head of, Sinead is supported by three heads of service and facilities management and maintenance. Gail and Aidan would be the two heads of service who would support the assistant director, which was Kevin Scullion, who retired there on the 14th of April. In relation to refuse collection, street cleansing, Peter White, that would be his substantive post, whilst we have a temporary head of fleet management maintenance in and acting up through Barry Torley. And again, a temporary head of service in terms of Gráinne McKinley, who looks after household recycling centres, closed landfill sites, a lot of recycling programs, things like waste data flow, various waste contracts and enforcement. And then again, on the facility side, Aidan, as you already heard, grounds maintenance, building maintenance, etc., and with Gail on cemeteries, public convenience markets, and the key civic and the key civic buildings, and a bit about domestic services. Key projects, I mean, key topics really more than anything else. Clearly, we've got paper later on in the business plan, which is the annual report seeking approval of the director's business plan for the coming year, which may change because as the corporate plan is updated and refreshed, there is potential for change in that regard. But climate change is very put at the top there because it's an extremely evolving subject, and it will reach and touch all parts of the council, all parts of the community, obviously, and there will be mitigation actions and adaptation that has to be taken as a result. And we're sitting here probably quite warm for this is the longest day. I suppose we'll have a good batch of warm weather. We've got sea temperatures above normal up in Donegal and places and the east coast of England, potentially as a result of climate change. Number of cemeteries extensions have been ongoing and are ongoing. So clearly we need to continue to provide capacity there. And those are extremely important in some of the capital projects that would be associated with the directorate. Clearly a lot of contracts involved for things like facilities management, even down to building cleaning in some regards, in terms of things like Legionella, asbestos management and fixed wire testing. Big investment in fleet over the last year or so. Council has committed extensively to the updating and the replacement of the council's fleet and to some additional vehicles for street cleansing. A street cleansing review which has been going on and is will come back to committee in due course. Household HRC's Household Recycling Centre. And again, I will say you will come across lots of acronyms when it comes down to things like waste management, and people can almost have full conversations in three-letter abbreviations or whatever. The public conveniences have already been mentioned in the outline business case Gail referred to earlier, and enforcement and improvement plan. Clearly, we're looking for, to try and keep communities as clean as we can. And that involves two things, not just picking stuff up, but also from the enforcement point of view. Significantly, continue to work with Louth County Council and have regular meetings with them. The waste strategy is a document or a direction of travel, which comes usually from DERA. And that in itself, along with impending legislation, can set waste recycling targets. There was, for example, a 50% recycling target set for 2020, and the Climate Change Act or Climate Change Bill that went through Stormont before it was dissolved has set a notional 70% recycling target for 2030. The circular economy is more prevalent now in that what we're trying to do is keep material, which is what waste is. It's a resource. Somebody once called waste a resource we've yet to find a use for. But the circular economy aims to minimise the amount of waste that we dispose of. There's obviously just ongoing changes in waste legislation, and it's a very convoluted, but there is always change in waste legislation, and we are continuously looking to try and improve our waste collection routes. You go. Again, I just want to make a few comments. Clearly, as the director is still forming, it is really a project in itself. It's a transformation project. It was previously called Neighbourhood Services, which had which had different meanings to different people in different councils. And it was a generic name from an amalgamation of frontline services. It meant different things to different people. And some were part of the service had branded campaigns such as Streetscape and Street Scene, which you will see in other councils, but not in this one. That's where some councils have moved together on things like grounds maintenance and street cleansing. Not something that we're doing in Uri Moor and in Down, but just something to be aware of. The actual transformation of the service itself, it's not just one transformation, it's a series. And it's an evolution as opposed to a revolution. So many of the services that we deliver directly affect the environment. Some require improvement, for example, waste management, street cleansing and public convenience. Always are looking to improve upon themselves. And as I said already, waste collection, street cleansing together probably account for something like 30% of the council's revenue budget. So it's a fair whack of the annual budget. But, you know, again, most of the waste processing is done by third parties, and those contracts are substantial in themselves. Improving communications, it's not just about increasing visibility and simplifying methods for customers. It's also about digitization. Digitization first, but not digitization only. In other words, improving how people pay for things, whether it's, you know, buying a bin or asking for a bulky household uplift. It's trying to get a bit more modern. Clearly trying to continue to support communities and engage with communities. And we're mindful of, you know, budget pressures, trying to look for efficiencies and trying to deliver as much as we can for the budget that's available. Redefining resources really is not just about the physical resources. It's about, in terms of transformation, it's about building the team in terms of the people who manage and work for sustainability environment. But that's about people and posts. And again, looking at sort of what the service requirements are and critical examine and redeployment. And as I said already, we're always conscious, and we've just been through earlier this year a fairly tight rate setting process. And I fear that next year will possibly be something in the same vein. The measurements, how we manage and measure our performance is important, whether it's through performance indicators and how we actually, you really can't manage something unless you can measure it. So that whole performance management side is important too. There is a sustainability and environment working group, and we will be having regular meetings of that as and when required for specific topics. And I actually see that the one that was raised earlier about the herbicides will be a topic for a future meeting, as agreed at a previous committee meeting. I talk a little bit about waste management and then try and finish up. Uri Moor and Down are part of a waste management group called ARC21, which represents six of the now 11 councils in the north, and with about 60% of the council's waste and about 59% of the population. So, you know, a good chunk of household waste. And in round terms, the total amount of household waste collected across the 11 councils is about 1 million tonnes a year. That's kind of the scale of the issue. And you have about 1.8 million of a population. The 11 councils are organised disparately. I use that word because there is another waste management group called the Northwest Regional Waste Management Group, which is two councils, and the acronyms there are Causeway Coast and Glens and Derry City and Strabane. And that leaves three councils who aren't aligned, but actually have a joint waste management plan for Mananoma, Armagh, Banbridge, Craigavon and Mid Ulster. And just to touch a wee bit more on ARC21, because there will be, chair included, members of council who will sit on the joint committee of ARC21. Now, ARC21 is something called an incorporated body. In other words, it's a joint committee which was set up by a piece of regulation, and it is allowed as an incorporated joint body to hold assets and to award contracts. It's been on the go since 2004, and its main raison d'etre is to support councils in the delivery of their waste management plans. Waste management plans are a council function. but councils have voluntarily agreed to be part of R21, and there is one waste management plan which covers the six councils. There, you will have heard ostensibly on the news times many about the infrastructure project that R21 are trying to deliver in a former quarry up on the top of the mountain near Mollusc, which is a project which has been on the go since about 2008-2009. Ostensibly, it's a front-ended recycling facility with a back-end, which is an energy from waste plant. And that's a major bit of spend if it ever comes off. There's been a lot of controversy about it, a lot of objections to it. The planning's been approved. The planning's been up. You know, it's been approved and not approved. I think it's approved again at the moment. So they act as a procurement and contracting authority. We have a number of contracts, not all of our contracts, but a number of our contracts are let on our behalf by ARC21. So they act for the council, if you like. And essentially, I've underlined the word pass through there because ARC21 tender the contract, let it on our behalf. We then pay ARC21 to pay the contractor. That's how the arrangement has worked. And the contract fees can be quite significant. We also pay ARC21 for various other services that they provide, including contract management and things like strategic policy development. They're also supposed to act as the interaction with politicians and senior departmental officials, prepare consultation responses, and to share knowledge. So they are a statutory body in their own right. Those members who will sit on that joint committee will clearly learn a lot more about it in due time. I'm nearly finished now. I just want to finish up on the waste management picture because, as I said, it is significant spend. We have a climate emergency. We have a declared climate emergency. We'll be lucky if we manage to keep the increasing global temperatures to 1.5 degrees. It may now be beyond that point. We have the circular economy package, which came out of Europe and was enshrined in national legislation. We're seeing increasing recycling targets coming down the road. And I have to say, you have to imagine waste management as a super tanker. It takes quite a bit of time to turn it round or to enforce change. The 2020 target of 50% recycling was started back in the late 90s. So, you know, it does take time. And the change is incremental. I mean, some of the older members probably remember when you had a metal bin that was emptied once a week. And now we ended up with three bins emptied once a fortnight. So there's been significant change and significant improvements in recycling targets, which is only for the benefit of the planet. The Northern Ireland Waste Strategy, which I just referred to earlier, will be coming out from DERA. There will be a consultation, hopefully, coming out on their next strategy before the end of the year. That's a commitment they've given. There's also a waste management governance review taking place, which has been front-ended by SOLAS, which stands for Society of Local Authority Chief Executives. We had a paper back, I think, in January to the committee on that. That's moving forward through SOLAS. Council Waste Management Plan, as I said, the duty is on the council individually, but we collectively and voluntarily allow input into ARC21, and there's one waste management plan. Those plans have to be reviewed every 6 years, and that review is currently ongoing. I mentioned market commodity and market volatility in the context of probably things like the material that's in your blue bin in the mixed dry recyclates, because that material has a value. It's processed by Regen, and clearly they get an income from it. How the value of that changes on the world market is a bit like a lift, that the various material streams, whether it's paper, glass, card, plastics, etc., the value of that can go up and down quite significantly, and that can lead to issues sometimes in those contracts. So it's something just to be mindful of. And the last two acronyms down there are something called the Extended Producer Responsibility, which is legislation which will be coming about packaging, essentially, and how packaging is minimized so that, you know, you're not buying something that has a lot of packaging that has to then be recycled or disposed of. And again, something which we'll come to later in the motion that's before us tonight and being devolved from council is a deposit return scheme. And I'm not going to say anything more about that because I think it's fairly well covered in the subsequent paper. And finally, as I said before, there's a lot of acronyms and, you know, officers have an awful habit of talking in acronyms. So, you know, please don't be afraid to say, what the heck are you talking about? Because it can be totally confused. And, you know, everything from the Northern Ireland Environment Agency through DERA, Department of Agriculture, whatever it is, Environment and Rural Affairs, through SOLAS, the Government Waste Working Group, Northern Ireland Local Government Association, and there are a stack more that I could have put on. But a lot of acronyms, it's almost like a speak in itself. And as I say, if we start speaking acronyms, please pull us up and ask us what we're talking about. So that, thank you for your indulgence, members. That's a quick whiz through. I just thought it would be helpful to members tonight so that you got a feel for the directorate. I will, as I said, circulate the slides to members probably in the morning after the committee. So you have a record of that. So thank you for your time, and I will try and...
Head on, Ashley. Thank you very much. That was some information to absorb, and thanks very much for bringing this presentation, which I hope it will be of assistance both to new members and to existing members. Councillor Riley, you have a wee question.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Out of the 400 staff, I was wondering how many of those 400 would be dedicated to chasing up dogfighting in the streets and obtaining convictions of people. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, Andrew, a climate emergency has been declared, but you know, there's a large body of scientific opinion that says it's not all anthropogenic, and there's environmental factors, like secular factors that contribute. And why should we be hammering our populations in the Western world with taxes and bureaucracy and hardship whenever China's opening four new coal-fired power stations every week, India's doing the same? You know, the whole thing seems like a farce to me in reality, that we're getting taken for a ride here. It's just a matter of taxation. But the dog dirty one's the more relevant space.
Chair, there are four full-time members of staff on that part of enforcement, and they are supported by seasonal staff as well. It can be a view whether it's enough or not. That's what's been there for some time and is in the current revenue estimates.
Chairman, can I give a... Chairman, 1% of the staff on something that affects every person in this community, we should have far, far more. And I'm sure there's other all our positions that we have within this directorate that could be reassigned to that type of work, even on a temporary basis, because it's something that affects everybody. And it's something that needs urgent attention. And
I note the members' comments, and we all have our own priorities. It's obviously clearly a mixture of a budget issue and a demand issue. In terms of climate change, again, members are entitled to their own opinions. There's a level of scientific knowledge which I do like the word anthropogenic myself. It's quite a big word. Just means the effect of human activity on the earth. I think there's sufficient evidence at this stage, from my knowledge and experience and research. But clearly, members are entitled to their own opinions. Chair, I have studied it. I do have a master's in sustainable development, so I do have some knowledge of the subject and the topic. And my personal view would be that there is a relationship between the anthropogenic effects and the fact that global temperatures are rising.
Thanks, Andrew. All right, Henry, hope that helps. Thank you very much. Are there any further, Councillor Finn? a wee comment?
I just want to say thank you very much and to thank Andrew for his commitment, particularly in relation to climate change, because I think it's something that within the district, I know I've met with a lot of young, particularly school pupils, who have put a massive amount of work into tackling things that are going to impact their future. So I really just want to commend Andrew's commitment to that and say thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Christopher. Are there any further queries or comments? Well, thanks again, Andrew, for that presentation. So we'll move on to our next agenda, and that's the notice of motion by Councillor Henry Reilly. So,
Chair, I'll just introduce the paper. Clearly, this was a motion which the member brought to Council on the 3rd of April and was delegated to the committee. The motion is there at 2.1, and clearly Councillor Reilly can bring that forward. I just wanted to say that having again looked at the issue, there is the DERA, again another acronym, but DERA have made a commitment to introduce a thing called a deposit return scheme. I mentioned it briefly in the presentation, which will cover different types of containers. And their commitment is to do that by 2025. And I've given the reference on the website at 2.2. I just also wanted to make the point that consumers go through an estimated 420 million plastic drinks bottles and 90 million cans every year, a lot of which, no matter how good your recycling is, you only ever have to look in your black bin to see what shouldn't be in the black bin but could be recycled. A lot of them still end up in landfill, probably not so much from this council but from other councils across the other 10. So a deposit return scheme, and again, some of us are probably old enough to remember when there was one where there was 10p on a bottle, a glass bottle. Maybe it had been 5p and went up to 10p. Maybe it was a shilling at one point. And those sort of initiatives, there has been a lot of controversy in Scotland recently about the introduction of such a scheme. And I think part of that was to do whether there was glass in or glass out. And it's which part of the legislation is going to deal with glass. You know, some of the Scandinavian countries have been very good at this. And, you know, for example, some Scandinavian countries, you're probably very hard to get a plastic bottle. Most things probably are glass. But, you know, these sort of initiatives could push up the recycling rates. The rest of the paper, really, I put in an extract from the consultation that's been taking place on this, and it's clearly it's an England, Wales, and Northern Ireland summary, because Scotland are doing their own thing, and I think the controversy in Scotland has been that they're not aligned from a timing point of view with the other jurisdictions. I'm not going to go through all of that, but that's more for the information of members, and quite happy to give way to Councillor Reilly for his motion.
And who's seconding your motion?
Chairman, thanks very much. I'll keep it very brief because that report, Andre, is excellent. Really comprehensive, brilliant report, and very informative. So it does actually cover a lot of the concerns I had. But the motion, very simply, is that this council requests that DERA investigates the possibility of applying a redeemable surcharge and bottles, tins and plastic containers in order to reduce the amount of littering and assist in reaching recycling targets set by central government. And your report does cover that DERA is doing this in conjunction with England and Wales, unfortunately Scotland. I would just like to know, Andrew, what is the situation in the south? Because people going to work vans in the morning, coming north or going south, they're still throwing their bottles and stuff out. I just want to give you a small example of what I got today along the beach when I was walking the dog. This Coke tin. But if you look at it, it's multi-packed. How would that be affected, multi-packed, rather than having it on an individual can? A Polish can of beer. But these things are absolutely everywhere. Red Bull energy drinks. Now, those are actually quite expensive. The other thing I didn't bring with me tonight was the coffee container. Everywhere. DOA at the minute, or DFA at the minute, are cutting along the side of hedges. And you can see where the grass has been cut. Containers everywhere. Like, it's incredible the amount of stuff that's been. So could those things be included in the redeemable surcharge, because it definitely would help. And as you pointed out, Andrea, I'm old enough to remember coming home from school and seeing bottles stuck in ditches and taking them out and bringing them to the local shop to get the 5p or threepence or whatever it was. And it is an incentive for young people to help in keeping the environment clean and recycling. So, Chairman, I submit my motion to the council. But at those points, what is the situation in the South, and what's the situation on issues like multi-packs and cardboard containers? But thanks very much for the report. It really is excellent and very informative. Thank you. And Johnny's going to second up for me, Chairman.
Chair, I'm happy to come back at this stage. I'm not honestly fully up to speed on the situation with the EPA in the South. Clearly, from an all-island point of view, it makes sense to have reciprocal arrangements in both parts of the island. I'll do a bit of research on that and feed back to the council outside of the meeting. The DRS, the Deposit Return Scheme, wouldn't cover things like coffee cups. I mean, it covers containers which you buy fluids in, basically. You know, it's juice containers, it's, you know, bottles of Coke, some of the cans that you've seen. I had a smile when you sort of produced the cans. I mean, from a multi-pack point of view, there will be an additional charge on the cans or the container. So whether it's a multi-pack or a single cell, it'll be the same difference, if you know what I mean. It'll just be multiplied by 6 or multiplied by 4. I would make a point, and I would suspect a lot of those containers were aluminium. Aluminium, just for information really, is probably the most valuable thing that goes in the blue bin. It's extremely expensive. I mean, those cans are probably extremely thin because it is so expensive. But tin foil, which again is aluminium foil, those types of cans are the most valuable thing that go in the blue bin. And in the past, when you had large events and things, you would have actually seen some people out collecting the cans, because at a time they could have got a penny a can and actually collected them. And I've seen that for myself. So coffee cups wouldn't be included. Other closed containers to do with containing any sort of fluid would be covered. So, you know, that's and on the Environment Protection Agency, the EPA approach, I will research that and feed back to committee on it.
Good on, Andrew. Thank you very much. Online, we have a couple of councillors who wish to comment. I just want to bring in Councillor Jill Truesdale. Come on in, Jill. Councillor Clark after Jill.
Thank you, Chair. Absolutely support Councillor Riley's motion. I'm coming at that from a climate change viewpoint. And thank you, Andrew, for your expertise on that. But the overall aim for society is the removal of plastic altogether. So with that in mind, are there any plans for more water drinking fountains throughout towns and villages in the district?
I plead ignorance on this one, Chair, but there is a campaign by Northern Ireland Water in terms of providing the ability for people to refill their water containers, so that we get away from single-use plastics. Clearly, single-use plastics have been shown to exhibit high levels of contamination into the world's oceans. And quite rightly, they're carbon-based. Once again, they're made from plastic, which comes from oil, so they're a carbon-based product, which again is the use of a reducing resource. We have no plans to do with drinking fountains. I say there is an initiative by Northern Ireland Water, and I know they're keen. They launched it a few years ago, and I know they're keen to advertise and have points where people can refill their own non-disposable water bottles or coolers, because everybody seems to have caught on to these things. What?
Just missing. Six.
Oh, wait.
Yes, we are the bar.
Sorry, I'm missing. Aidan's going to pick me up on this one.
Thanks, Andrew. Chair, our department had been involved with our colleagues in sustainability and ART, where we have introduced 6 number of drinking fountains or water refill fountains in the district. We have an issue with water fountains from a water quality management point of view, where especially this time of year, if water is heated up to a certain temperature, it could produce aerosols that could lead to Legionella. So we have introduced specific water refill points in 6 areas throughout the district, and then we are working with our colleagues to further this project in the coming year. So we have been actively working with our other colleagues in other departments.
Okay, Jill, I hope you found that information helpful.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Councillor Willie Clark.
All right, Chair, thanks very much and congratulations on your appointment. The motion, yes, I agree with the sentiments of the motion, but this deposit scheme's been talked about for 3 years, at least 3 years. I remember talking about it on ARC21 2 years ago, in regards to how it would impact the North. And what I would ask is, what's the implications for the Council in regards to this? Is there issues with collection and storage of the deposits? Will that be the Council's responsibility, working with the, you know, supermarkets and other vendors moving forward? Unfortunately, I remember the 10p deposit scheme as well, you know. And it was a big success because young people did get involved and go out actively in the hedgerows, as Henry was saying, to collect the bottles. No doubt a deposit scheme would be a great success. But basically, what's the time frame, Andrew, in regards to rolling this out? Because I hear a lot of talk about it, and I don't see a big lot of action. Is there a lack of a minister? Is that slowing this process up? Or is the civil servants working away and the permanent secretary working away in regards to this? Just in regards to, again, implications for councils, I'm a firm believer in recyclable bins on the main streets. I think we're well behind, I know, with recyclable bins in Islands Park. But I think we need to be getting, a rollout in regards to recyclable bins on main streets and main public centres, main like leisure centres, and obviously outside, you know, other public buildings as well. And in regards to the paying, obviously the public will be paying the extra money and then just getting their money back. It sort of takes away from the polluter pays responsibility. You know, it's the people actually making these products. And as Jill says, you know, the large amounts of plastics that's been used, you know, the manufacturers and the big companies need to be, you know, reducing the amount of plastics and moving either to glass, which is preferred in Europe, has been outlined. This deposit scheme has been in Europe well over 10 years, you know. So, and just, it's a very, very slow pace, Andrew. And in regards to the single-use plastics, the end of the single-use plastics, I brought a motion to council considerable period of time ago as well. Again, with the water fountains, that was part of my motion. But just, is there an update on the single-use plastics? The idea of the motion was, first, we got our own house in order in regards to reducing the plastics coming in regards to, you know, our offices and all the workspace, and also in regards to, you know, how we procure. And how does our package, you know, our packaging reducing in regards to that? But the next step of that was then to go onto the high streets, and, you know, encourage, you know, particularly fast food outlets to move away from plastics and polystyrenes and to move to recyclable products. So maybe if you don't have it now, Andrew, maybe if you could maybe update me at some other time, please. Thank you.
Chair, you're happy to do that. Just from a point of view, the indicative date from the department for the current deposit return scheme is 2025. I mean, I can't speak for the department. I am watching what's going on in Scotland, and it's already been delayed, and there are difficulties there.
but I think that's more to do with going at a different time to other jurisdictions. The other points I will certainly pick up on. I mean, ultimately, if there was a successful deposit return scheme in place, it should see the council collecting less waste because we'll not get it in the first place, which, you know, by virtue of the fact that we pay to have that material processed, will essentially save the council money. We wouldn't be responsible for collecting that material. You would have the likes of supermarkets where there would be what they call reverse vending machines. So in other words, you put your plastic bottle in or your glass bottle in or whatever, and you get the money out. And that's what a reverse vending machine does. And that is the concept. I mean, again, I can remember going to Denmark a number of years ago and seeing these things in supermarkets. And again, very little plastic about the place. A lot of glass, but very little plastic. So in essence, if it was successful, we would actually see a benefit from a reduction in the amount of material we would collect. It also has the potential, I have to say, to have a negative impact on our recycling figures, because it's exactly that type of material that's being recycled. But, you know, I would live with that if the material was getting put back into the economy without even coming anywhere near the council.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Mickey. And we've got Councillor Michael Savage and Councillor Mickey Larkin for comments.
Yes, Chair. Savage. Yeah, Chair, I just want to compliment Andrew as well on the very extensive report on this. I think this is the way to go. And again, like Willie and others, I remember taking the 10p bottles down to get my 10p mix up when I was a kid. There's a lot of them here wouldn't remember that, but it was something that we as children loved to do. In fact, we used to stash the bottles at the back of the house, and then when we really wanted to go to town, we took them all down to the shop, and it was like a currency in itself. But it just showed you it was the children and the young people who are actively involved in that, and those are the people I believe are most passionate about our environment. But what I would say is that I think we need to be careful about how we go down the route with this, and I think we need to be looking at reusable as opposed to disposable. And I think Andrew touched on that when he mentioned Denmark being plenty of glass about, but very little in the way of plastics. I think if we can get a culture of people taking the containers back for a deposit, the way to go would be to encourage more glass containers that are reusable, washed and put back into the system again as was back then, and stop using the plastics as much as we're doing at the moment, because that, to me, the plastic liquid containers and drinks containers have become the scourge of our environment over the last 20, 25 years. So, you know, sometimes when you go back to basics and back to the old times, we didn't have this problem that we have now 25, 30 years ago, because most of the containers were glass. And I remember when the big 2 litres and 1 litres of 7-Up and Pepsi and all came in, that was the start of it. And then we had the smaller bottles, and that became the plague on everyone's home. So, you know, I think the direction of travel and as far as the consultation is concerned, we should be encouraging more reusable as opposed to disposable, and try to eventually create a culture whereby people think nothing about buying a pen extra surcharge for a bottle as opposed to a plastic bottle or plastic container. Take it back, get that culture moving, and we eventually replace the plastics and the aluminium with bottles. And I think if we get to that stage, the ideal scenario would be that our recycling numbers come down to near zero, because then we know we have achieved what we set out to do, and that we're saving our planet in the process. So I think that's what we need to be working on. And I think it wouldn't do any harm down the line if the system was a success, the council had some sort of a role in it, if the volumes were that high. I think we should keep our minds open to that if it was a success, because the flip side of that is that we save our planet. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Savage. Councillor Mickey Larkin. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the sentiment of the motion, and I understand the need to put in place a scheme similar like this. But just would mention that in relation to the Scottish scheme, it has raised a lot of opposition and a lot of issues from especially the corner shops, many of which are just lock-ups who don't have the facilities or the space to store recyclables, and would end up possibly falling foul of legislation if they were forced to take part in the scheme. Another issue that was raised in relation to it was them having to take to redeem items that were bought at other premises. There's talk about supermarkets here, like they have any amount of finance and space to take part in these schemes, but the smaller shops and local shops, they don't have that. They don't have the finance, they don't have the space, and their ability to themselves redeem any funding that they'd handed out to redeem these items would be an issue too. So there needs to be a long thought out process in relation to how this would work for not just the community, but the local businesses, the shopkeepers, the corner shop, many of which have disappeared and which we should be trying to, you know, encourage to survive.
Thanks very much, Maggie. Some very good points raised there. And if I don't see any other speakers, I put the motion to the floor. Are all in agreement? Sorry, go ahead and sum it up.
Very, very brief sum up, Chairman. Thanks for the comments and the support on it. Chairman, maybe this council could set an example to the rest of society and ban single-use plastics. Because I see a bottle of Lucas, see a bottle of water and a bottle of water. And I'm not, you know,
Chair, I'd have to come back on that. This bottle of Lucozade is not Lucozade. It's diluting orange, which has been refilled countless times. I couldn't afford a fancy water container, so I am reusing my bottle of Lucozade. Sorry, Chair.
I think we'll have to get you one.
Well, Andrew, you have set an example to us then. But maybe if there was a fairly good standard of stainless steel or something, flash applied to staff and whatever, and encourage them, and we could really set an example on it. But I appreciate too what Mickey Larkin was saying there, that you don't want to penalise smaller businesses whenever the bigger businesses could cope. So I presume that the council would even be able to assist in that in some way in locating the reverse vending machines. Thanks very much, Chairman.
Thanks, Councillor Reddy. So put the motion to the floor. Everybody's in favour. It seems to be motion carried unanimously. Thank you very much. And to all who spoke, I was going to go down memory lane, but I'll leave it there. But again, thanks everybody for your contributions to such a worthwhile motion. So our next item we're going to move on to is the committee terms of reference for 23 to 27. So go hand over to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Chair. Members, I'll be a bit briefer on this one. This is a similar report to this is going to each of the committees because of the outworkings of planning for the future. And really, as I sort of alluded to in the presentation, this particular directorate is still forming. In other words, there are still other services which sit elsewhere in the council at the moment that will join under the sustainability and environment banner. The report actually refers to the appendix and says that the changes are in red in the appendix. But if, like me, you only have a black and white copy, it doesn't read so well. But essentially, I just pick out things that sustainability itself, climate change, energy management, biodiversity, environmental education, environmental health, health and safety are the services which will be transferring in, along with off-street car parking and some assets which currently sit in ERT, which would include harbours. So the terms of reference are there as the appendix to the paper, Chair, and as I say, similar report going to the other standing committees as an outworking of planning for the future.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Are members any questions or comments on the paper that's been presented in Andrew's submission? Just a P proposed by Councillor Riley, seconder. I see Councillor Savage has seconded that, so thanks so much. So then we can move on into the next item on the agenda, item 7. It's the starting times of the committee, if I'm correct. So are members happy enough with the times and dates that have been scheduled up to 24? 6 p.m. starts. Are members happy with the schedule of meetings that has been presented in the report? Could I have a proposer and a seconder? through the chat, please. Councillor Riley's proposed, and from my seeing the list, Councillor McGuinness has seconded. So members are happy enough for that. So move on then to agenda item number 8, which is the business plan. So I'll hand over to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Chair. Members, this is an annual report, which should come to the June setting of the committee in terms of setting out the Directorate business plan for the year ahead, and also contains a review of the previous year, 22-23. The business plan should align with the corporate plan. Now, the current corporate plan will expire shortly, and no doubt members will be involved in the process for developing the new corporate plan for the term of the current council. So I'll just caveat the report by saying that things will change and that things will probably change on an ongoing basis. Again, it sets out, you know, more by means of what they call RAG status, red, amber and green, the review of the 2022-23 year, and then sets out the 23-24 business plan. The business plan itself is then supported by service plans, which sit with each of the key services. So this is the high level stuff as opposed to the real detail. And clearly, we will be reporting back on this, during the year. And at times it refers to neighbourhood services because that's what it was. As I said, it kind of changed in mid-year in July of last year. So it started off last year as neighbourhood services, and this year it will be sustainability environment. So it's there for members' information, and happy to take any questions, Chair.
I'll throw it open to members. Is there members any questions on the paper that's been presented and on Andrew's verbal report? If members are happy enough, could I have a in the chat box? A comment from Councillor Truesdale. Tell, go ahead.
Sorry, Andrew, I know you said that there is further detail to come in under those plans, but within that detail, is there something along the lines of a street bin review?
Just for clarification, you're talking about litter bins,
Litter bins, yeah, and as already been said, street recycling bins, compression bins, seagull-proof bins. No seagulls are a big issue in Newcastle. They're attracted by litter and rubbish, which is on the street, because the bins are quite insufficient.
Absolutely. I mean, that's actually going on at the moment. Pardon the name, but there is a bin called a Big Belly, which is, I'm sorry for this, not my idea, but that's what they call it. It's essentially a solar-powered compacting litter bin, which, as a consequence, can hold significantly more waste. And essentially open it up, put your material in, and it compacts it, and it prevents access to the likes of birds and other vermin. And again, obviously, there are other bins which, you know, have flaps and things on them to try and keep seagulls and crows out. We did carry out, for example, a significant replacement of the freestanding litter bins in Castle Welland during the previous year. It's an ongoing program, and it will the devil will be in the detail, but yes, Chair, it will be there.
Jill, I hope that reply helps you a wee bit. But if you have any further queries or points, don't hesitate to contact Andrew. Thank you very much. So, with Councillor Tierna Kelly. Tierna?
Yeah, I just wanted to just back up a point that Jill made as well. In terms of sort of bins for like compostable materials, I'm not asking for a full sort of like food waste on the street, but I know that a lot of our tenders for like coffee vans or food vans are asked to have sort of compostable packaging as sort of one of the criteria to be there. And I was just wondering if there was any potential to also include a review of supplying perhaps bins that would facilitate the actual removal of compostable packaging, because I know putting them in your standard litter bin is not necessarily mean they're going to be composted. Is that a word? Not sure, but yeah.
composted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chair, clearly, you know, and I think this again relates back to the process being driven by increases in recycling targets. And recycling doesn't just, I mean, recycling really is made up of two main elements. It's made up of biodegradable waste, exactly what the member's talking about in terms of material that's compostable, whether it's, you know, garden waste or kitchen waste, or even, you know, things made from plants, and the rest of the material being essentially mixed dry recyclates, which are like the material in your blue bin. I would say that we are not as far ahead as we'd like to be in terms of on-street recycling. And it certainly, when you look at the material that comes in from what I would call street cleansing, because the litter bins are obviously collected by the street cleansing folk, as well as the material that's lifted by some of the larger mechanical sweepers, a lot of that is actually recyclable, and a lot of the actual fine stuff is recycled from the mechanical sweepers through organisations like Recon. So we're not as well ahead as we could be in terms of on-street recycling. Certainly an area for improvement, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I hope that helps you there. Thank you. And Councillor Willie Clark.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just as we mentioned there, the solar powered bins were located in Newcastle, and they had been out of use for a long period of time. Just to ask Andrew, have they been repaired now and replaced? These were installed at the time of the Irish Open. We put a number of these bins in Newcastle to get an update on that, Andrew. And the other point is in regards to the bin review. Obviously, we've amalgamated the dog fouling and the litter into one bin, and there's large areas of Newcastle have no bins on their streets. So has that review been carried out? Because I think it was being carried out at the time Johnny was here, you know, so just for an update on that.
Chair, happy to provide an update on both of those. Janelle, just pick up maybe a couple of comments on that, but I would say that we do have a policy which relates to waste. I mean, if we get a request in from a member or from an organisation about the placement of the litter bin, there is certain criteria that needs to comply with, whether it's, you know, whether it's to do with the location and the locus and that sort of thing. But I think she has a couple of comments.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just to let members know that we are undertaking a review of the bins across the district. So we're undertaking a project where GPS mapping all of the bins because of location and the condition. And that's with an ongoing focus that we've been to replace bins from damage and so on. The bin in Newcastle, the solar panel bin, yes, there was an issue with the operation and mechanics of the solar panel, and it has gone back to a supplier to refurbish. We're looking at options in relation to replacing them with the fixed elegance, as Andrew has mentioned, and we're looking at trialling those in Newcastle. If Councillor Clark wants to talk to me about the locations in Newcastle that the extra bins are required. Actually, when we're looking at the bins in Newcastle, there's practically a bin in every bench, and what we'll be looking at is possibly replacing some of those bins with the large compactor bins so that we've got bigger capacity. So a lot of those bins are actually come to end of life, so we'll be looking at maybe replacing those with the sort of handled compactor bins. So I would be interested in getting the detail of the location where additional bins are required. In relation to the dog fouling being incorporated, so that I suppose is something that we've publicised to residents to let them know that the litter bins do accept dog fouling waste, and that seems to have gone quite well across the district.
Thanks very much, Ashley, for that update. Just as also relating to waste bins, if there has not been done of, say, for example, that bins have been in place for several years that are no longer fit for purpose, and that makes the end of their lives need to be replaced.
Yes, sure, that's part of this review by the commission for bins and prioritising those for replacement, so there's a lot of replacements in Castle Well, so that will be rolled out across the district. And as I say, within budget constraints, so we have an allocated budget for another bit, so just to be really about that.
Thanks very much. And Councillor Reagan, do you comment?
Yes, Chairman. I would just like to point out that the term about billing, it could actually be a form of cultural appropriation on myself, and Glenn Hart. we have the copy of him.
Thank you very much. It's something I thought I like, and then there's some work too, but that's for well, anyway, thanks very much, members in the chamber of all names for your contributions. We have a proposer and a seconder that we proceed with the recommendations of the end of the September report. A proposal for Brenda Savage and second by Councillor Williams. Thank you very much. And we're now moving into the next section of the meeting, which is a closed session. And items 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I think the example of the paragraph being the platform of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public resolutions excluded during these kinds of business. So I ask for a proposal and seconder, please, to go into closed session. So, sorry, I'll come to you in a minute during over the release day. So we've got a proposal from Councillor McGuinness to go into the meeting. Could I have a seconder, please? So whatever, we'll just wait a wee minute or two before we commence the session. Thank you. So this one between this one colour is it here, please. And then agenda number 9, which was in relation to proposed charges for use of Newry Market as event space, on the proposal of Councillor Jeremy Kearns, secondly by Councillor Edward McGuinness, it was agreed that item 9 would be deferred for further consideration and update presented to the Sustainability and Environment Committee in due course, and that was unanimous. On agenda item number 10, which is an upgrade to public space CCTV cameras in Newry Ward Point and Brookhaven, on the proposal of Councillor Michael Savage, seconded by Councillor Henry Reddy, it was agreed to defer this item until August, to an August meeting, to enable the PSNI that they've been invited to present the case to committee in August, and that's also unanimous. Agenda item number 11 was the fleet operator's license compliance update, and on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Jeremy Kearns, it agreed to approve the revised fleet operator license action plan updated of June 2023. Agenda item number 12 was the business case for the procurement of tyres, on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, it was agreed to approve the business case for the use of the supply that servicing, calling, delivery and disposal of tyres, chutes and ancillary products for all council vehicles and plants. Agenda 13, which was the business case for the procurement of mechanics tools, and the proposal of Councillor Una McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Derry Finn, that was agreed to approve the business case in Appendix 1 for the supply and replacement of fleet, workshop, tools and equipment. On item 14, which was the economic appraisal for the procurement of fuel, on the proposal of Councillor Leanne McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Ian McGuinness, it was agreed to approve the business case for the use of suitable supply framework to support the provision of liquid fuels corporate-wide. Item 15, which was the extension of contract for the receipt, storage, transfer and haulage of mixed dry recyclables, on the proposal with Councillor Henry Redding, seconded by Councillor Mickey Larkin, it was agreed to approve the contract for the receipt, storage, transfer and haulage of the Councillor's mixed drive recycles and waste extended with the Council's current contractor from the 10th of September 23 until the 30th of March. So would that be 24? And then the last one in closed session, which was at item 16, the Central 10 directions. On the proposal of Councillor Reilly, seconded by Councillor Jackson, it was agreed to note the contents of the report. Number two, approve the Central 10 directions that are in excess of £30,000, as set out in Appendix 1 and 2, and for the Chair and Vice Chair of Sustainability and Environment Committee to approve the individual SDA performance that will be directly to appendices 1 and 2. And point 3 is continue to receive regular updates reports on the procurement action plan. So that was all the items that was discussed in the committee. And the rest of the committee agenda is from 17 right to 20 on your screen. It's forgotten. And if members have any questions or queries in relation to those agenda, you should contact the officer concerned. So I'm going to pack the meeting tonight and I'd like to thank members in the chamber and online and also to our officers for listening to me. And also, I've just been reminded here that I'll need a proposer and seconder for 17 to 20. And the proposal is savage and seconded by the Council of the Army. Thank you very much. So that brings today's meeting to a close. So thanks very much, everybody, for coming along. I look forward to it.
Thank you.